still there. Since we began Talk Sexual Life series around 3 years ago, it's been our endeavor to get you stories celebrating the smallest joys which, when nurtured, grow to yield a treasure trove of happiness. To trace euphoria to its initial moments of trepidation or plain oblivion. To crack the code of maintaining a fine line between consistently working on a passion, because it does require work, and infusing passion into work. Celebrating the journey rather than only its destination. And as we approach the season finale of Talk Sexual Life podcast, as we've known it, my conversation with Oyon Banerjee, Managing Director and Partner, Boston Consulting Group, is at the very core a trek into the mind of a carpe diemist, one who lives in the moment unfazed, unrattled, be it tackling unforeseen situations on his trekking expeditions or helping scores of mammoth companies tackle the unexpected. Digital tools notwithstanding, we speak of the missing human element in this COVID disruption segment, from the inability to subtly gauge body language to the void of being unable to huddle and problem solve together in a room. We discuss the new normal. Oyon, hi, welcome to Talk Sexual Life. I'm so glad we are finally having this conversation.
Indeed, it's been a while that we've been trying to get this going.
Yes, it feels like a trekking expedition. You know, that I've been on some trekking expedition. Something other used to crop up. And finally, we are having this. I thank you so much for your time. Thank you.
No, absolutely. Thank you.
So how have you been doing? Considering the times, of course, we can't get away without discussing, you know, the situations that we are in. And you are a partner at one of the biggest consultancy firms. In India, of course, I mean, worldwide. What were the immediate challenges that you have faced and how did you handle this?
Look, I mean, when we as a firm started reacting to this very early, just given that, you know, we operate all over the world. So given the fact that, you know, we have a very large operations in China, so we were smack dab in the middle of, you know, the whole crisis as it was starting to emerge. And as a firm, you know, we took a lot of proactive steps, which were quite foundational in nature. So we started tracking it first sometime around the middle to end of January, when it was still very, very contained in Wuhan, and slowly but surely started spreading. But we were literally on a week-for-week advisory in terms of how the disease was progressing out there, what was the chance that the disease would actually go out of China. And, you know, from the time when the first few cases popped up in Europe and the US and so on and so forth. So as a firm, I think so, we at no point in time took this lightly. You know, as a firm, there were two or three things which were paramount to us. The first was, you know, clearly protecting, you know, all our employees and everybody in the firm. So that was like numero uno priority for us. And, you know, our CEO and the executive council, I mean, we were pretty much, you know, on a weekly advisory from the EC, which was talking about, you know, how we were reacting to it, you know, what were the do's and don'ts, you know, in terms of how we were conducting our business, you know, starting to slowly but surely look at travel, in terms of most necessary of travels being, you know, being allowed versus others being called discretionary and not being done. The second big body was, of course, you know, really standing by our clients. Because while our clients were also in the different geographies in which, you know, we were operating, and each of the geographies, the disease progression was, you know, sequentially increasing. I think so, as much as we were taking care of our teams, we were also thinking about how could we really stand by our clients during this moment of crisis. And independent of any kind of commercial strings, you know, we were saying that, look, if there is any time to stand by your client, it is now. So starting from, you know, working with a lot of government and not-for-profit organizations to working across our clients, across different industry verticals who were all getting impacted at different rates, you know, and in different magnitudes. We were all standing by them trying to say that, you know, how do you take care of your employees? You know, how do you take care of your clients? So, you know, I mean, we were getting to a situation where pretty much, you know, the bulk of our work was all about A, protecting our teams, B, protecting, you know, our clients. And when I say protecting our clients, I really mean, in the initial 2-3 weeks of when it was declared a pandemic, you know, it was like everybody got hit by it, saying that what does it really mean, you know, and what does it really mean for our operations? What does it mean for our teams? And given the fact that we had a bit of a leg up in terms of our thinking around, you know, the whole disease progression, I mean, our knowledge was pretty much being made 100% transparently available to all our clients. So we really focused and went out of the way to ensure that happening. Now, as we kept getting deeper and deeper into the pandemic, it also became quite clear that the way we were used to working and serving our clients and dealing and, you know, helping our teams work and deliver to our client. I mean, we are at the end of the day a client service firm, you know, and our single largest assets are our teams. I mean, we had to essentially make sure that the collaboration, the team's well-being, you know, all of that was being taken care of. So there were quite a few things that we were doing in terms of ensuring that. I mean, as much as work is one thing that just happens, you know, people go from client locations and BCG locations to, you know, to their own respective homes. But how do you really enable, you know, people who work in teams to suddenly get used to working in their own homes all alone, you know, morning, afternoon, evening, all of that. So there were a bunch of things that we did as a firm in terms of just helping, you know, our teams kind of deal with the situation. I mean, we do everything from work to fun parties to theme parties to fancy dresses to, you name it. We typically once a year, we have a large outing where the entire office, you know, meets up, and it's a little bit of, you know, talking about how we are doing as a firm and our path moving forward. But the bulk of it is about really bonding and camaraderie within the teams. And believe it or not, we did that entire thing on a digital platform just a couple of weeks back. And including, you know, having a full-fledged theater being performed, you know, having stand-up comedies, you know, and the whole nine yards. So I think so. While I'll be careful in saying that this is not quite what it is when people see each other face to face, but in terms of really adapting, you know, to the changing needs, I mean, we just feel that, you know, we've done a fair bit. There is still more to be done. But in general, you know, if we take a little bit of a pulse in terms of how, you know, we are coping as a firm, I think so we have coped quite well, you know, and it is much better than what one would have envisaged at the beginning of the pandemic.
Yeah, that's great to know. And such things do take us by surprise, right? The entire adaptability of the human behavior and everything that has just changed overnight. We couldn't have thought that this would be possible, but it has. I mean, we are living it right now. So going forward, what are the changes that you think are likely to stay in the post-COVID era too, in the way perhaps organizations, consultancies, in consulting?
Yeah, so if you think about consulting, you know, we are a very FaceTime heavy business. Our clients, you know, typically like us to be with them. You know, we are typically with our teams at client locations, you know, with their teams. And the bulk of our time is really spent in front of the client at the client prem. And, you know, we are rolling up our sleeves, we are hitting the whiteboard, we are solving complicated problems. You know, we are developing multiple business scenarios. So it's a very high engagement business that we run. And in this setup, if you think about where we are today vis-a-vis what we have done for the last, you know, so many decades, I mean, we've been running with virtually no FaceTime with our client. I mean, barring the few exceptions here and there, I mean, for all practical purposes, the client is in the client's home. We are at our homes and our teams are working.
Right.
And I would say that we have adapted quite well. The clients have adapted well. We have adapted quite well. And, you know, if we hear the narrative coming from various, you know, industry leaders from multiple segments, you will hear a range of commentary about, you know, some saying that this is, you know, fantastic. And, oh, by the way, we don't think we're going to get more than, you know, 10% of our employees ever back to the office, because this works just fine. Then you will have some who say that, you know, while we have done great in the last 6-7 months, but if you really talk about productivity, I think so our productivities have taken a hit. So for the same amount of time that our teams are spending, and when I say our, I mean the clients, ours, everybody's,
right,
you don't get the same return on that investment of time. Yeah, because, you know, at the end of the day, there is an intrinsic value in terms of looking somebody in the eye and, you know, looking at a whiteboard and really scribbling stuff and solving stuff. Today, that is not happening. You know, and there is, of course, a ton of digital, you know, tools that are enabling a lot of, you know, sharing whiteboards, you know, collaboration, video has become part of our course, all of that. But still, I think so the subtlety of, you know, body language, the subtlety of, you know, how do you really solve a problem together in a room, in a common setting? I think so that is changing quite significantly. But if I fast forward the clock, I mean, I would go to the extent of saying that a lot of these statements that are being made right now by various leaders in various industry segments about, look, I think so this is going to be the new normal. I believe that there are many things of how we have dealt with the crisis in the last 6 months will end up being adopted in the future. But I'm not so certain that this will be done to the extent at which we are doing it today.
Right.
So of course, remote working will happen. You know, earlier, remote working was a privilege for the privileged, you know, or remote working was for people who had an emergency. Tomorrow, it will be...
Or different industries.
Or a different... Sectors. Exactly. And tomorrow, I think so, remote will end up becoming a way of life to the extent that, you know, maybe companies will come back and say that, you know, you're free to work from home 3 days a week, 2 days spend it at the client location, or, you know, if you're in a manufacturing sector, I mean, you can't be running a factory sitting at home, you know, whereas if you're in a tech services sector, you know, there is a lot of what you can do at home, you know, using digital collaboration tools and stuff like that. So again, I mean, it's going to completely vary by sector. It's going to vary by the type of job. But one thing is certain, that it is going to look different. You know, the industries are going to be much more open to alternate ways of working. I think so it will, in general, have a positive impact in terms of, you know, how firms, you know, compete in their segments, you know, how firms treat their employee and their overall human capital. So those are things to change. How much? I think so that is anybody's guess.
So what are some of the key attributes you think is of a new age consultant that you see?
I think so being digitally savvy and understanding how digital plays a role in improving the performance trajectory of, you know, companies is going to be critical. I mean, if I rewind the clock 5 years, you know, consulting was, I mean, if you were consulting a company in industrial goods, I mean, technology was, you know, far and few in between. You know, whereas if you're advising a company, you know, that runs a series of manufacturing plants, today technology is, you know, absolutely integral to the solution portfolio, because you're saying that, you know, how can technology make you perform your, you know, your services, your products better than what you've ever done before. So I think so digital is something which is going to be, you know, almost like a table stakes for a consultant of the future. The second I would also say is that if you think about many of the sectors right now, the impact of the environment and what we have done to it, you know, has come to great proportions. So being mindful of what sustainability means, you know, to us,
right,
to our clients and to their clients, I think so will again become very important, you know, for people to really do justice to helping our clients, you know, outperform what they have done up until now. So in my mind, these are a couple of things which are going to be, you know, very critical. And then, of course, you know, some of the past consulting, you know, skill sets and values, you know, they are all going to get cemented more than ever before. But if there were a couple of things for me to call out, it would perhaps be these two.